Hey everyone, and welcome to the FC Yahoo Podcast. We are into week two of the World Cup. The 2018 World Cup in Russia has been going on for a couple weeks now, and we are getting some clarity on some of the teams that are going to go through to the knockout rounds. So before we get into the specifics of certain groups or certain matches that we just got done watching, let's just kind of recap the, well, Group A is pretty much decided, right? Russia is through, Uruguay is through, Egypt and Saudi Arabia are out. The next round of matches is two teams that are made it through playing each other and, frankly, playing for nothing versus two teams that are already out and playing for just trying to get a point. Someone's going to get a point before they go home. Group B, which we also talked about last week, is a little bit closer. Spain is technically top, although they're tied with Portugal, so I believe they're just ahead on goals scored, possibly, or they're just level either way. It's 4 points each for Spain and Portugal, and Iran is on 3 points, so that last match is somewhat interesting. Morocco has already been eliminated. Wait, before I even go any further, first of all, I'm here with Alex Baker and Joey Galino.
Thanks, Sean. It's great to be here in the Rialto room.
Yes.
This is La Cienega.
La Cienega.
Why'd you have to ruin it? People out there thought we were in the Rialto room.
You're breaking the fourth wall.
As always, joined by the humorous takes of both Joey Galino and Alex Baker, who are both, again, delirious because they've been watching matches all night long. But moving on to Group C and Group D and Group E, which is what we're going to kind of focus on today. France is top of Group C and is through already. Denmark should be through, we're thinking. I mean, Australia's on 1 point, and Denmark really should be able to go through. Peru is already eliminated. So we kind of have clarity even in that group. Before we go on, Joey, what have you seen from France? Because they're one of the favorites coming in. They have an immensely talented squad. They've managed to get a couple results that haven't entirely been convincing, but what have you seen from them?
Well, the weird thing about international soccer, as you guys know, is like it's such a random and kind of, you know, it's difficult to get a gauge on it because you're basically taking players who are playing with clubs and in a certain system and different teammates and trying to build something around them infrequently, you know, like, so it's hard to establish a rhythm or an identity. And France has got this like thing where, you know, they're really good one tournament and then the next World Cup or whatever, they're bad. And I don't know if that's necessarily like there's a reason for that. I just think that that's how it's played out. So I don't think because they were pretty good last World Cup, that means they're going to be bad this World Cup. And obviously they haven't been so far. But, you know, and we'll talk about this maybe with Brazil here in a little bit. There's a sense about France, like, they haven't hit their, like, top gear yet, and yet they still have, what, 6 points through two matches? I don't believe in them. I don't know if I believe in Didier Deschamps. I don't think I believe in Paul Pogba, frankly. I always think that his reality has outpaced, the idea of what he is has outpaced his reality. Like, I don't deny that they have an insane amount of talent and probably more talent than anyone in the world, frankly, top to bottom, outside of maybe Brazil and Germany. But
Belgium also possibly.
Belgium
could throw
pretty
in
good,
there.
Yeah. Like, I just, for some reason, I'm not overly encouraged by France. Like, I think that they're a threat to reach, you know. This is the thing. The other thing is, like, what are we talking about here? Like, if we were talking about Mexico, for example, or the United States, if the United States made it a run to the semifinals,
which
would
never happen.
Yeah. still too soon, as far as I'm concerned.
Semifinals of the Hex?
Yeah. No, at this point, that needs to be the goal. All right. Like, baby steps. But, you know, if we're talking about those, like, nations, we're talking about a different set of expectations. Like, a run to the semis of the World Cup would be a big victory for either one. France getting to the semis, it's kind of like, well, you know, you could have done better, you know. So I think relative to expectations, I don't think they might get that far, but I still think that would be a disappointment considering the level of talent they have. And I guess the ultimate point is, yeah, like I'm not impressed by France. That's a hot take thing to kind of say, but it's the truth.
Alex, what do you think the expectations are for France? Like, what it would be a successful tournament? Is it win or bust for them? Because they're not an old squad. Most of these guys will be back in 4 years.
No, but I don't think your take is particularly hot. I don't mean to throw cold water on it, but I think everybody can agree that France has labored against teams that they should be beating rather easily. Mm-hmm. But we've seen that from a lot of the supposed favorites in this tournament so far.
Argentina, Germany.
Yeah.
Everybody,
Brazil.
Brazil.
Belgium had, well, they've only played one game, but they had the first half, they looked the best. They labored, but then the second half they turned it on. But look, France, you know, I saw a tweet from our colleague Leander Charlockens the day, because he picked France to win, and he says this is all kind of according to how it should go. And there is an argument that good teams like that, they know how to pace themselves. They don't, you know, peak too early.
Are we pretending Leander knows what he's talking about? Is that like a thing?
I mean, let's be honest. Like, when you call him our colleague, I get a little bit, like, I shiver a little bit. Anyway. He's referencing Italy when they kind of, like, well, didn't really convince them. Germany, frankly, didn't look that great.
Them, so he'll find a way to justify himself.
That's what I'm saying. He's picking a couple of winners that, like, kind of didn't necessarily do anything. Like Spain, when they won in 2010, didn't really have massive victories.
No, they won a bunch of 1-0 games the whole time.
Exactly. He's referencing some of the most recent victories. That's not to say that, like, if you have a team that dominates everyone, they shouldn't win. Germany also had a 7-1 in the process. So
that, I think, is actually the interesting point, because the 7-1 that Germany had kind of belied how, not unimpressive, I don't want to use that term, but they, you know, we kind of got our people of our age, our generation, you know, we grew up on Brazil dominating, and what it took to beat Brazil in 98 was France being amazing in several matches, including the final.
And Ronaldo, like, throwing up and having a mysterious illness the night before the final.
Yeah, that too. That as well. But, like, you know, Portugal in 2016, or Spain, like you just mentioned, in 2010, or Italy in 2006. World Cup winners, like Euro winners, like major tournament winners, by and large, they win ugly. Like, we have this expectation, I feel like, as a soccer populace, that you have to play this beautiful game or you have to dominate the whole way through. That's not how it happens anymore. So that's why I don't want to go too far with my France take, but I still think, like, I'm not encouraged. But I do recognize that, like, the way they're winning, you know? They're winning ugly, but they're winning.
There are a lot of teams winning ugly right now in this tournament. Lots.
Who's the last tournament who won – sorry, the last team that won a tournament playing really pretty – flowing soccer. Like,
I think Brazil in 2002 would probably be it.
It's the last time, because even Spain weren't particularly attractive in that World Cup.
Yep.
They weren't playing like Euros, Barcelona.
In Euros, they were pretty good.
Euro 2012, I think, you might maybe
Euros, they were pretty good. In 12.
A lot of times the teams that come and play pretty explosive, free-flowing soccer get knocked out in the second or third round. I can think of the Netherlands in Euro 2008.
Shocking.
Well, yeah. But there is something to be said for not peaking too early. So
yes,
that's my reservation about being too critical of France. I agree they've been disappointed.
I agree
they've labored. But I wonder if part of that is Deschamps has won all this before. He knows what to do.
Right.
He's navigated through these stages as a player.
But couldn't you say the same thing about Laurent Blanc when he was there, though? I mean, I don't know. France confounds me. I'll put it that way. They should not be as bad as they are.
Blanc
has
sort of a
inconsistent, right?
They're just inconsistent, they don't
convince on a regular enough basis.
No. Right.
And they do make too many errors where you sit there and go, these players are too good to be making these mistakes.
Completely.
And they haven't gotten caught in this tournament yet, but at some point, like if they came up against, let's put it this way, if they came up against Croatia right now, you're probably taking Croatia.
I'm taking Croatia.
I think Croatia 100%. Could feel confident about playing any team that we've seen in this World Cup at this point.
I think
their midfield is going to boss around a lot of teams.
Well, yeah. Croatia, I always sort of thought of them as like the best of the rest, let's just move
right into them then.
Let's go.
Because their group D. Yeah. I mean, their group D, it's what was coming up next anyway, and probably one of the most intriguing groups. Because right now we have Croatia on the top. Nigeria is second.
Yes, they are. The Super Eagles,
on 3 points after two matches after beating Iceland. And, Ahmed Musa, no relation, just in case you guys are wondering.
Sean Ahmed Musa.
I think
a great fantasy team name, actually.
If you had any questions whether or not we were related, that first touch on his first goal made it very clear that we are not related. I don't think I've ever had a first touch like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and his second touch was pretty damn good, too. Nigeria second in that group on 3 points. Iceland 1 point now because they drew against Argentina.
Don't even get me started.
Don't get started.
And last place with a -3 goal differential is Argentina, who plays Nigeria on the final match day. So technically, if Argentina beats Nigeria and Iceland does not beat Croatia's B squad because they're going to rest players because they're already through, Argentina can still make it through. Now, even since they're both on 1 point, even if Croatia loses to Iceland and Argentina also wins, it'll come down to goal differential, which right now Iceland's at -2 Argentina is a -3. So basically, if Argentina can beat Nigeria by more goals than Iceland beats Croatia, which is very plausible. Alternative to all of that, Nigeria could just beat Argentina because they are capable of doing that in the way Argentina is playing. So I just want to throw it out to you guys. Group D, Croatia, Nigeria, Iceland, Argentina. Which team do you want to talk about? Joey, you started out. What have you seen from this group? Because it's been one of the more entertaining and really all to play for groups. All four teams are still alive going to the last match day.
And this was kind of like, you know, one of the talking points before the tournament and before pretty much every World Cup or Euro or whatever is what's the group of death? I don't know if there's a true group of death this time around, but this is a pretty tough group top to bottom. You know, you've got four pretty good teams at worst. And at their best, you know, you would argue Croatia could make the semifinals, maybe the final. You could say Argentina might be able to win the World Cup. Who knows? Argentina is the most interesting one here, and I think it's because of this. The Messi storylines write themselves. The amount of talent that they have and how they're underachieving kind of writes themselves. The thing that's interesting about them to me, and this is not just pegged to that whole rumor of mutiny against Jorge Sampaoli that came out this morning. It's like
the rumor, by the way, just to interject, is that they want to get rid of Sampaoli. They don't want him. The players supposedly had a meeting where they are asking to have him removed for the last match. Mm-hmm. And I believe have their, Olympics coach come in, who is not one of the assistants.
No.
So they just want one random dude that used to coach Aguero and Messi and stuff when they were on the Olympic team to come back and just
frankly,
coach
the
most
fair,
important match of these guys' World Cup lives, frankly.
To be fair, real quick on that front, the only international title Messi's ever won was of consequence was the Olympics in 2008. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, also I'm going to throw out that one of the reasons he didn't win the Copa America was Sampaoli was coaching Chile.
Yeah.
And they
it's
beat
two titles.
They beat them
one,
in final. Well, no, the second one with Pinci. So.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, who did not do well this World Cup? Saudi Arabia is not Chile. Who would have thought?
Wow, it's so much harder to win with these players.
But sorry, please continue.
Oh no, it's so weird. You know, it's not weird. We know what the dynamic is like. It's not just that you can show up. I think we've talked about this on previous podcasts about Zidane and Real Madrid. Yes, he's got Ronaldo. Yes, he's got this insane level of talent. But he puts them in positions to succeed, and he is a man manager who's really good at, you know, dealing with the egos of the locker room and stuff like that. I don't know that anyone in Argentina during Messi's tenure there has gotten that right. Because as great as Messi is, it's hard to play with a player that good. It really is. You've heard it from players before. When they have that kind of superstar, teammate, you know, you've got to massage it a bunch of different ways. And it's not just enough for Argentina to show up, you know? They've got to show out, if you will. They've got to put in the effort and put in the performances, and they're not doing it. And they haven't done it, frankly, for a while now, even during qualifying. They needed Messi to bail them out, basically, after that, you know, BS suspension was overturned during CONMEBOL qualifying. And it's just it's baffling to me that the team is this, I guess I'll say it, bad. They shouldn't have drawn Iceland. Alex will tell you I've been savaging Iceland in our company chat room for all day, but for different reasons. I don't think they're that good. They're kind of the hipster pick. And the fact that they tied them and Messi missed the penalty was a little disgraceful. And yesterday, I don't think that's questionable. What's not questionable is the Croatia performance. That was disgraceful. That was bad on Argentina's part. And Messi's, to be fair. I think he's the greatest player of all time. I can't defend that. He had, 49 touches, I think, which is the lowest of everyone on the field, of any outfield player in the game yesterday.
Fewer than the goalkeeper
in the
first half?
That's ridiculous. And so it's baffling to me.
Here's something that Miguel Delaney from The Independent pointed out online. And this is his opinion, but I will not say I disagree with it. Passed it, Willy Caballero, Javier Mascherano, and Perez. Who is the way he put it? Yeah. Meza, Salvio, Mercado, Tagliafico, Acuña. Who the hell? This is not the best Argentina side we've ever seen.
It's
Let's put
not,
it that way.
But at the same time,
and well, to add to that, and you're still not starting Gonzalo Higuain, who you decided to bring along.
You didn't bring Mauro Icardi.
Didn't bring Icardi. Not starting Dybala. Nope. I mean, if you're saying, well, who are these guys? They're not playing up. It's like, well, you also have these guys who are supposedly superstar talents, or at least they seem to be performing like that in European leagues, and they're, you know, the leading scorers, the leading playmakers, the top players that you could come up with. And they're not good enough to start on a team where you can't seem to score goals and give Lionel Messi any real support.
If you read these names on a team sheet, you would say that Argentina should score 3 or 4 goals per match. Yet they're not scoring at all, period, basically. Yeah. It's just, I can't even imagine being an Argentina fan. Like, as a neutral, it's frustrating to watch them waste this much talent. And again, you're right. It's not the greatest Argentina side we've ever seen. It's probably not as good as the one that went to the final in 2014 at the World Cup. It's probably not as good as the one that went to the final of the Copa Americas in 2015 and 2016. But good Lord, they got like – I don't want to hear – Caballero's error the other day was horrible. I don't want to hear about that alone, though. Like, that team got played off the pitch in so many different areas that it was just embarrassing. I mean,
yeah, I think that's what gets lost is that Willy Caballero made an error, and there's no doubt that it cost them a goal. They lost 3-0. They never scored a goal, so they never really had a chance
to
win.
It was a great finish.
Yeah,
too.
It was.
I should have picked Antti Rebic for my fantasy team.
You should have.
Well,
thought about it.
Well, the one thing I actually kind of talk about is Croatia's midfield, because it is incredible. I mean, when you look at the five guys that have Brozovic with, you know, as you said, Rebic, I can never say his name right. Put an itch at the end and you're good.
Rebic.
Yeah, but, you know, Rebic is in there, Brozovic, Perisic playing a little bit further up, obviously. Modric as a number 10.
Fifth in the Ballon d'Or voting last year.
Rakitic has been great working in too. Like, Brozovic allows Rakitic and Modric to do what they're doing. And then, you know, Mandzukic is up top. He's doing okay. He's doing what Mario does, which is like kind of – he's a skinnier version of Diego Costa in many ways. He's a little dirty sometimes. He's going to like – yell a lot. He's going to get kind of put some pressure on the referees. But when you look at how solid that team is, you have guys like Kovacic who can't even get in the team. Like, they're, you know, the late substitutes that you bring in for tactical reasons. And that guy started a fair amount of games for Real Madrid this year. He's not, you know, not some like, he's in his mid-20s now. And still, you're looking at this side and you go, wow, you know what? They really do have a fair amount of good talent. Do you think so far any team has been better than Croatia that we've seen, Alex?
No, I don't think anybody. Maybe Belgium in the second half, but that was against Panama, and they seemed to labor in the first half. And we've only seen one game from them, so we've had the chance to see a bit more of Croatia.
And Panama was honestly not as good as some of the opponents of Croatia's faced have been.
They were impressive in that first half for not giving up and not giving an inch and not really letting Belgium play.
They actually played well, I would say, relative to them.
You know, they made it to the World Cup.
Well, you're saying relative to them. What I'm saying is what we saw from Nigeria today, kind of showed that, wow, Croatia really did do a number on these guys in the first
match. Of the teams that we've seen play two match days, I think we have a lot of conclusive evidence that, that Croatia has so far been the best team in this World Cup. Goalkeeping mistake aside, they capitalized and they picked Argentina apart very strategically when the opportunities came to do that.
So I'll ask you. How do you see this final match day going? I mean, does Argentina make it through? Does Iceland make it through? Does Nigeria make it through?
God, I want to believe in Argentina, but this team was awful in qualifying. They barely made it. Willy Caballero, who went from being on the bench at Man City to being on the bench at Chelsea, is their goalkeeper.
He was, to be fair, he was on the bench at Argentina, too, until Sergio Ramos.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I just don't... You know, there was this sort of expectation that, okay, Argentina has made it into the World Cup. It was kind of like what people said about Trump. He's going to get elected and get into the White House and suddenly become...
Oh, we're going there, huh?
I'm sorry. But there was the idea that it will transform him and suddenly become presidential.
Yeah.
The idea was that Argentina would sort of come into the World Cup and suddenly become itself, World Cup contender. They're not. This team hasn't looked anything like a World Cup contender for years.
Okay, yeah.
They also just don't look like a contender to win a match.
No.
Yeah, and I was going to say, let me throw this out there. I'm not even going to beat around the bush here. No, Argentina's not going to move on. Like, Croatia's obviously through.
They're through.
Nigeria is probably going to go through, too. I think the one that we saw today was more close to what they actually are as opposed to that first match against Croatia. Because it's kind of, like, counterintuitive if you want to say Croatia's been really good, but then kind of ding Nigeria for that performance. Well, it's like, well, they're playing the best team in the group. I'll go one further. This is purely speculative. I think Messi is sick and tired of this bullcrap. I think that the people who argue that he's not the greatest of all time because he doesn't win some random international tournament, which again, for reasons I detailed earlier, is completely arbitrary. And
earlier
to
being the last
5 years.
Things,
I think he's like done. Remember in 2014? He carried this team to the knockout stages. In the last couple Copa Americas, he set up Higuain and other players for sitters in the finals. And I mean, Ronaldo was subbed off after the 25th minute or whatever of the 2016 European Championship. And Portugal still won. Messi is not getting that support, and I think he's sick and tired of it. I question his desire, and I do it in the best possible way. I don't think he's quitting on the team. I think he's like, you know what? I'm done. Like lifting this damn team further than it deserves to be. They haven't won an international title in 25 years. The only reason they've been close is because of Messi. So I don't know if Messi. I don't know if Messi gives a crap anymore. Like I really don't. Like I'm not saying he doesn't love his country. I'm not saying he's not going to try hard. But I think ultimately he's like, you know what? I've done what I can do. Like this team is not the coaches, the administration, the teammates. They're not doing what they can do for me. So I can't see them progressing because they're not together. If there's a mutiny going on, at least they're together on something in that regard. I mean, good Lord. Like, I think Croatia's through, obviously. Nigeria's going to go through, too. I don't think Argentina, they have a chance, but I don't think they're going
to
do it.
I think Messi, personally, it seems to be going through kind of a dark night of the soul in this World Cup.
I think he's actually closer to finding the peace, though. I really do think
I think the peace will be when he hangs up the Argentina jersey and says, I'm a Barcelona. But I think that he either... I don't know. I don't know if he plays for Argentina again after this World Cup. Probably he doesn't.
I believe
he retired a couple of years ago, and then he decided to come back. But I think maybe he might have been right to just.
Well, when he retired a couple of years ago, that was more political to try and change up the AFA because they needed to restructure, and that was more of a political strengthening mood. Everybody knew that he was going to come back, basically.
Yeah.
But no one expected
him. I'm going to say one last. The only reason I give Argentina any hope at all
is because of him.
If it were not because of him, I would say no, Nigeria is going through. But he's Messi, and he can come, and he can turn it on, and he can win a game, and they could be in through the next round. And then maybe they sort their whatever shite out, and something happens. But
that's the greatest workaround of a swear word ever on a podcast.
So one thing I will say, and to not to push Joey off his soapbox, but to kind of push Joey off his soapbox, it's a little bit revisionist history to say that Messi kind of just did it all by himself in 2014. I think when you go back and look at it, the support that he had was Di Maria until he got hurt, and Di Maria did helped a lot. And kind of in the Copa the next year was the same thing until he got hurt. Mascherano was incredible. Sergio Romero was awesome. That 14 squad was definitely better than it is now because you're kind of looking at either diminished versions or older replacements in those
key spots.
I can't
believe Mascherano is still first choice. Can't.
Yes, you can.
I don't think
because you look at who else, like Enzo Perez.
Enzo Perez, the goalkeeper.
Enzo Perez and Lucas Bigley aren't going to do it for you.
Yes,
and those are the guys that I can name like without having to look it up. And I watch these teams like every time I'm like Salvio. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I'm like, why is Meza starting? You can't get Higuain, Aguero, and Messi on the team. Like, first of all, that should be a no-brainer whatsoever. And I left out the bleep word in between no and brainer. Because it is ridiculous that you would not just go with, hey, Messi, guess what you do for Barcelona? You play on the right side mainly as part of a front three. Guess what? We can just put Higuain in the middle in the Suarez role. Oh, you need some help on the left wing slash kind of another forward? Oh, hey, Aguero, why don't you go play on that side? Messi, keep interchanging and... voila, you're not putting all the creative burden on him. You're helping him out. And if you still somehow wanted Di Maria, which you clearly didn't in the second match, but if you wanted him in there still, you can have him be part of the midfield because that's what he's done for most of his career anyway.
But why can they never do – why can't they figure this out? Because for years people have been saying,
I know.
Why not figure out a way?
I have no idea.
Here's the thing. Maybe it's just not that easy because you say, oh, well, the easy thing is to make – Argentina play like Barcelona.
No.
If it was going easy to play like Barcelona, Arsene Wenger would have won the Premier because people try for years.
It's not to make them play like it. It's to make him play in a position because you're relying on him so much. one of the best moments in the last match that Argentina had was when Messi dropped to the right side of the midfield and played a ball across the field in the typical fashion that you see him do for Barcelona. Because guess what? Messi on the right side, cutting in on his left foot, is a comfortable position for him to be in. We've seen him do it a million times, and no one can stop it. It's like the Arjen Robben in reverse. You've seen it a million times.
Inverted wingers. Those are my people.
But like you've seen it a million times, but it doesn't matter. And for him, he sees the field from that position more than anyone else does. So why are you trying to force him to just be that central number 10 when it's clearly like not working? He's not scoring goals there. He's not able to create there. And then also, you're not really giving him the right level of support. Like the guys that you have coming in there, they're frankly like I thought they should have moved on from Higuain and brought in Icardi instead.
Yep.
But they didn't do that, so freaking play him. Why are you not starting? Like, they brought him in past the, was it 83rd minute in the first match? Like, that is crazy. You need a goal, and you have this guy that you brought specifically to score goals. That's all he does, and you won't put him in.
Yeah. And to that, I agree with everything you said, but I'm going back to Alex's point initially. I think this is actually, and we're not going to maybe get too much into this today, but remember how Mexico was in the 2014 cycle. You know, they barely qualified for the World Cup. Sanssouci, if you will, his strike was the reason that they got there. And they did all right for themselves when they got there. They just went through this Rolodex of coaches and managers, you know. They settled on Osorio 3 years ago, Juan Carlos Osorio. And whatever it's been, tactics, man management, all of it, it's been perfect. And I don't think Argentina, I'm not saying that he's the right guy for the job, but I'm saying that they got that right. It wasn't a golden generation at Mexico, quote unquote, until he got the most out of them. And he's got them, you know, they beat Germany the other day. And obviously there's circumstance going on there that's beyond, you know, their control. But they have a chance to have a deep run at this tournament. They have a chance to make the knockout stages, I think, for the first time, or to win a game in the knockout stages for the first time since 86 or whatever it is. I don't think Argentina has found that person under Messi. Now, I'm not saying they haven't had great managers before, but for whatever reason, none of these guys work. I think Messi is the one. I do think he's the one that's dragging people. I think that you can – obviously, it's never just one person, but he's the reason they're even close to contention.
Well, they're not.
All of these tournaments.
In 2014, they were, and yeah. I think you have to give credit to Mascherano and Sergio Romero as well, especially. But Di Maria was really good in those tournaments as well. Messi was their best player, don't get me wrong. He won the Golden Ball in both those tournaments, even though I think he didn't accept it in one of them. But that said, he did have – like those guys – Mascherano played incredible. He could have gotten the Golden Ball in that tournament.
I think he deserved it, actually.
I did too because really Messi – like if you – Messi didn't score a goal after Di Maria got hurt.
I know.
Like in the knockout rounds, he could not score. And they were frankly going on 0-0s, like because the defense was just shutting them down, and that was all Mascherano just playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
I was gonna say out of his something else, which is what he said at one point. He said he tore his backside.
I feel like we're tap dancing around cuss words a lot. But which one of us is gonna be the first one to dive in?
Well, Alex kind of did. I might have to go the extra.
I set a low standard.
Well, I think we've talked plenty.
Killed that topic.
I think. Well, we haven't killed it, but because we could go on forever.
You could check out the 6 blog posts on the site about it right now if you want any more on Messi.
Yeah, the one thing that I did really disagree with on Joey on that was like, he's like, it writes itself. It's like, no, we write it. You give us some respect.
That's true. We don't want to take away from that, no.
All right, well, the last group and kind of one team in particular we're going to focus on, obviously, that we want to talk about now is Group E, where Brazil this morning got left until very late, very, very late. Keylor Navas was incredible to this morning, playing against Costa Rica. Brazil won 2-0. Both goals came in stoppage time, past the 90th minute, and Keylor Navas had a lot to do with that. Tite, I'm not going to use the accent. I'll just say Tite.
We're in dangerous territory right here, guys.
Yeah. Tite decided.
If you put an E at the end of it, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, in Portuguese they say like chiche
or something.
Yeah, it's like they say it different. In any case, before we go back to the linguistics podcast,
mean like Firmino?
Uruguay.
Firmino.
Uruguay.
I've been saying it right.
Yeah, not Firmino. Firmino.
Firmino.
Yeah. Okay. The royal. Wait. We are gonna get back on track here.
Celta Vigo.
Oh God.
We're off the rails.
Yeah. So we're talking about Brazil. Who now They beat Costa Rica this morning. Two late goals. Neymar got the goal that now puts him ahead of Romario, only behind Ronaldo and Pele all time for Brazil. He's only 26 and only turned 26 in February, so he's probably going to catch up to all of them. And yes, you can look at the goals per game rate and pick and choose that part of it, but still, it's going to be incredible when he ends up as Brazil's all-time leading scorer, more than likely. But what do we make of Brazil right now? Because they're still not qualified, but a draw or a win would see them through. And then there's another scenario where we can get into goal differential and all. Even if they lose, they can possibly get through. But let's just keep it simple.
Yes.
A draw or a win, Brazil goes through. Joey, let's start with you again. What do you think about Brazil? What do you like about Brazil? What do you not like about Brazil? What do you think?
I sort of brought this up earlier, but I actually, you know, whereas France has gotten, you know, kind of one ugly and has 6 points, but I'm not really a believer in them. I'm a believer in Brazil, and I think it's actually, I don't know if encouraging is the right word, but they've got 4 points in a sneaky tough group. Like, Switzerland's not a pushover. Serbia might actually be their toughest match in their last match. Keylor Navas obviously was great today. Costa Rica made the quarterfinals last cycle, and you know, obviously it's a different, it's the same team nominally, like with players, but it's a little older, so I'm not saying they're as good, but they're not a pushover either. And the fact that Brazil got Neymar back basically for what, 2 friendlies before this World Cup, and he's still kind of finding his footing, and he's dealing with the fact that other teams are kind of targeting him a little bit, you know, they're being physical with him. There's just top to bottom, there's so much talent on this Brazil team. So what I'm thinking is, when they actually hit their stride, when they get back up to speed, it's going to be scary, because I don't think they've been that good thus far. Yet again, they're still on top of the group somehow, and they're probably going to go through in their last game against Serbia. The thing they have to avoid, as you guys know, if they finish runner-up in this group, or even – it doesn't matter, actually. They might even if they win the group, they might have Germany in the round of 16.
Yeah.
And that would be tough as nails.
Well, I mean, I think it would be – it would be fitting, because
it would be a final level match.
Well, if they're going to do what, you know, what they're projected to do, or like,
yeah,
they're one of the favorites, they should have to go through Germany, the defending champions, and frankly, the team that like embarrassed the nation. You kind of have to deal with those demons at some point. So would be fitting.
To this day, they still say what? They tweeted the Brazilian, the German FA, like, tweets out happy 7-1 or something every July 1st. It's bad.
Alex, what do you think about Brazil? And you know, the other team, obviously, we didn't mention is Switzerland got a late win or late game winner from Shaqiri. Zenden Shaqiri, and that was an awesome one. And then he did his version of the Ronaldo, took his shirt off and flexed it out. But. They're also on 4 points as well, and you know, Costa Rica's eliminated, obviously. So
Switzerland actually has surprised and impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really good in the first game against Brazil. I know they were physical, and it wasn't to everyone's liking, but what else are they really going to do against Brazil?
And it was more than that, too. I think they did play well.
Times, yeah, and I think they got some flair players, and they're really well organized, because I thought today would be sort of even, and it was, but they got the better of a Serbian team that you might argue had more talent.
For sure.
So they've been sort of a pleasant surprise. Brazil has been a letdown. They've not been fun. They've ground out that game today. You know, it finally broke for them really late.
Mm-hmm.
The opening game, they were held. And I think they definitely, of course, make it through to the next round. But never mind Germany. I wonder if they'll could get past Mexico, who are also going to be up at or about the top of that group,
and
could certainly give them a game. I'm still not convinced that Neymar is that he
key.
Just makes a difference.
That's
he tends
key.
To get these goals after the game's already been won. He does something, but I'm waiting for Neymar to really decide a key match in a key tournament in a way that I don't think I've ever seen him quite do.
He did it in 2013 at the Confed Cup. He did it in the World Cup before he got hurt in 2014. But
he was a decider before he got hurt.
In the Confed Cup, you can give him that. But is that... Yeah, okay.
He did it in the group stage of 2014, too.
He was good, but it's like...
Recently, he hasn't done it.
Go the distance, Neymar. Don't get injured. Don't get suspended. I know if he gets injured, it's not his fault, but I'm just saying, I want to see it, because for me... I think Neymar's a good player, but I don't know if he's a great player.
It's a
player.
Valid concern. He does get hurt a lot, and it's not the call.
He's easy to bait. He's easy to get easy to get bait. A rise out
yeah,
of.
Like
he did a dive today. Why? He could have got a yellow card for that. He should have.
Yeah.
So anyway, Neymar, he needs to prove himself to me. Brazil, they should be better. They should be more fun. And I haven't seen it yet. I feel like they haven't arrived. So maybe they're like France. Maybe they're pacing themselves and they're going to kick into gear.
That's what I'm saying.
Could be smart.
I don't think France is going to kick into gear. I think Brazil will.
You think Brazil
yeah,
will?
Yeah.
Why do you think – what gives you more confidence in Brazil than in France?
I like the makeup of their team better. I think they have a better defense. I think that they can stretch the field. Like when you can bring on Douglas Costa like they did today and change the dynamic
of
the
match. It was night and day. The second he came on,
yeah.
That's true.
They took off Willian.
There's more options there.
And they could have scored like 2-3 goals in the first 5 minutes of the second half.
Yeah.
It was completely, you know, this kind of goes back to the column I wrote before we got into this tournament. The thing that's most different about Brazil now versus 4 years ago is they are not a one-man Neymar show.
For sure.
They're better equipped.
And one of the things I said is, like, honestly, the most important player, kind of secretly, not so secretly, it's actually Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah.
And
Coutinho, I think, is a...
And he's lived that.
I think he might be a... I don't know if he's a better player than Neymar, but I just don't.
Wait, what? Hold on.
He's been more convincing to me.
Take that take through to the end.
Okay. Philippe Coutinho could be a better player than Neymar.
We're talking about
he might not have as good of a marketing agency behind him and as many hairdressers, but I think he's...
Yeah, okay, by the way, Neymar, you got to get rid of that hair dude.
Do you remember 2002 Ronaldo haircut?
Yeah, that's the worst.
And they won the World Cup, so you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want if you're
a
Brazilian.
Winning the World Cup is like trash hair. I don't have hair.
2002 Clint Mathis haircut was also pretty.
Yeah, the mohawk or whatever. Yo, he scored against South Korea, though, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
semifinalist South Korea. Back when the U.S. was actually, you know, in the World Cup.
Zidane widow peak in '98, also one of the best haircuts. just hold on to that, Zinedine. And then when he went 2006, he had to do the headbutt. Yep. He didn't have that little widow peak to do it. Mm-hmm. We're going off the rails here.
Off the rails.
I think
Brazil. I think we haven't seen the best of them yet, and hopefully we will.
What I was kind of alluding to earlier was they just have so much depth and so many, you know, one of the things that Germany kind of messed up by not taking Sané was they limited themselves in one particular like option that they have, and Brazil doesn't have those limits. They can go with, you know, like Douglas Costa is a perfect example of what they can bring in to like change it up from Willian. That made a huge difference today. And
you know that Willian is the favorite Brazilian player of this podcast.
Yes. Yeah. He's a friend of the program, if you will.
Friend of the program.
He once said hello.
Who we don't like.
He once smiled at Alex and I, but more at Alex.
I was charmed.
He's more gregarious than I am.
Yeah. Well, Alex usually gets more smiles. Okay. This is going downhill in a hurry.
What are we even doing here anymore?
All right. So let's wrap this up. It seems like we're picking Brazil to make it through.
I still think Brazil is going to win the whole thing.
And we are that was my pick pre, and I think it was Joey's pick as well. I changed my pick away from Spain making it to the final to Argentina making the final, which looks like an awful pick.
Hey, yeah. It's not over yet.
Do me a favor and don't pick Belgium to make it to the final next.
Why? It would make Leander upset. I would do that I'm going to do that now immediately.
This is official.
Can I pick both France and Belgium to make it to the final? anyway, so I guess we'll log off. We'll check back in at the end of the group stages before we get to the knockout round, because that'll probably be the time when people will be like, hey, maybe we're not sick of hearing from these people. Well,
are you sick of Joey's trash takes? You are? Well, wait a week and you'll be okay again.
It'll definitely seem fun again.
Yeah.
This podcast is going to require a lot of editing. So before we do get out of here, did want to say, you know, be sure to check out FC Yahoo and all the content that we're putting together. We really have great stuff on a daily basis, many times a day. We've got a full war room where people are working on content and getting you the best stories of the World Cup. For example, what language do the players speak to the referees?
You know you want to know.
You definitely do, and it's not just gestures, but there are a lot of gestures too. But there are all types of kind of interesting stories that have come out of this World Cup and will continue to come out. So be sure to check out, you know, the soccer section on the Yahoo site or FC Yahoo, easier to type in. Also, you know, like us on Facebook, download us on iTunes or Apple Music or whatever it is these days. And thanks for listening. For Joey Galino, for Alex Baker, this has been Shahan Ahmed. Thank you.
Alex Baker has sucked balls so far during the World Cup. He needs to step it up or we might fire him. Oh, hi, Alex.
Zero goals.
That's true. We're level on 0 goals.
So you have as many goals. You have as many goals as Lionel Messi. Oh.
Whoa.
Low blow. Too soon.
Why am I so tired?
This is definitely making the podcast. Your phone's on silent.
Phaser's on stun.
I mean, you don't have to put him on silent because no one's going to call you anyway.
Oh. No one likes me.
It could be a robocall. Shut up.
I know. I'm not going to tell a telemarketer.
I have credit cards I haven't paid lately. Totally
I pay them on. Or I don't pay them on purpose, so people will call me.
Okay.
Needs to go on.
This is all needs. This is better than the podcast.
I know.